ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपः कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So today's verse, tasmad bhavadbhi kartavyam karmanam trigunatmakam bija nirharanam yoga pravaho paramo diha। तस्मात् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम्, तस्मात् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम् कर्मानां त्रिगुणात्मकम्, कर्मानां त्रिगुणात्मकम् बीजनिर्हारणं योगा, बीजनिर्हारणं योगा प्रवाहो परमो धियो, प्रवाह परमो धियो। तस्माद् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम् कर्मानां त्रिगुणात्मकम् बीजनिर्हारणं योग प्रवाहो परो धियो। तस्माद् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम् कर्मानां त्रिगुणात्मकम् बीजनिर्हारणं योग प्रवाहो परो धियो। तस्माद् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम् कर्मानां त्रिगुणात्मकम् बीजनिर्हारणं योग प्रवाहो परमो धियो। प्लीज रिपीट। तस्माद् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम् गुणात्मकम् बीजनिर्हारणं योग प्रवाहो परमो धियो। तस्माद् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम् कर्मानां त्रिगुणात्मकम् बीजनिर्हारणं योग प्रवाहो परमो धियो। तस्माद् भवाद्भिः कर्तव्यम् कर्मानां त्रिगुणात्मकम् बीजनिर्हारणं योग प्रवाहो परमो धियो। माताजी विल टेक वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। तस्मात् देयरफॉर भवाद्भिः बाय योर गुड सेल्फ कर्तव्यम् टू बी डन कर्मानां of all material activities. Trigunatmakam, controlled by three modes of material nature. Bija nirharanam, burning of the seed. Yoga, the process by which one can be linked with the Supreme. Pravaha, of the current, of the continuous current in the form of wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. Uparamaha, the cessation. Dhiya, of the intelligence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. You all repeat responsively. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruitive activities, artificially created by the modes of material nature, and stop the flow of intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, 26th verse. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatita etan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service and who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. By the practice of Bhakti Yoga, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform, transcendental to the actions and reactions of three modes of material nature. The root of ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. The word Bija Nirharanam refers to burning the root cause of material life to ashes. In Medhini Dictionary, Yoga is explained by its result, Yoga Purvartha Sampraptau Sangati Dhyana Yuktisu. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called as Yoga. This is also called liberation. Muktir hitvanyata rupam sarupena vyavastitha. Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 10th chapter, 6th verse. Mukti means giving up one's position in ignorance or illusion by which one thinks in a way contrary to his constitutional position. Returning to one's constitutional position is called mukti, and the process by which one does this is called yoga. Thus, yoga is above karma, jnana and sankhya. Indeed, yoga is the ultimate goal of life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to become a yogi. Tasmat yogi bhava Arjuna. Lord Krishna further advised in Bhagavad Gita that first class yogi is he who has come to the platform of devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamamata. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is highest of all. Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter 47th verse. Thus, one who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart is the best yogi. By practicing this best of all yoga systems, One is liberated from the material condition. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tasmad Bhavadbir Kartavyam Karmanam Trigunatmakam Bija Nirharanam Yoga Pravaho Parodhyo. So in this today's class we are discussing from 7th canto, one of the very important sections in the Bhagavatam, which is Prahlad Maharaj section. So this is one of the most amazing section, because the teachings which Prahlad Maharaj is giving to his demoniac friends is what he has learnt when he was in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad Maharaj started understanding about Bhagavatam and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness even before he was born. So such a unique example of how Krishna consciousness can be understood by any person. And especially when Krishna consciousness is cultivated from very childhood, it has a very great impact on a person's character and his behavior. We ourselves can actually see that a person who has come to Krishna consciousness in his childhood, his behavior is quite different than a person who has already done so many sinful activities in the life and then come to Krishna consciousness. If a person has already committed sinful activities, then Krishna consciousness appears artificial in the beginning stage of life. He doesn't feel much taste in Krishna consciousness. At max is at intelligence level. He only understands that I have to purify myself. But only after getting purification in the process to some extent, then only we can actually relish Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we only remain analyst. That this I am eternal and body is temporary. So we keep analyzing that. So Prahlad Maharaj also teaches about this philosophy. If we go few verses before, Prahlad Maharaj speaks about Neti Neti philosophy. So this is a section of Sankhya where a person who is studying Sankhya analyzes the elements of this material world. And after analyzing each element of this material world, he rejects it, saying that this is not my identity. This is not my identity. So the first gross covering of a person is his body. So this is common misunderstanding of materially inclined people, that I am this body. And they feel that when this body is given pleasure, I am happy. And when this body is insulted or hurt, then I am also hurt. like that. So the first level of gross ignorance is bodily consciousness. Now Prahlad Maharaj goes ahead and says that there are two types of bodies. One is called as gross body, another called as subtle body. So grossly foolish people are engrossed in gross body consciousness. They are also in GBC, gross body consciousness. Now subtle body conscious people are inclined towards philosophical speculation at max. They try to understand the functionings of mind and intelligence, and one who is advanced in Sankhya tries to discern himself from the activities of mind and intelligence. So when somebody likes something, he tries for that kind of activities. These are all born by mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So all the activities in this material world are basically under these three modes. Prahlad Maharaj says, karmanam tribhugunatmakam. So karmanam tribhugunatmakam. So all the activities which people are doing are situated in mode of goodness or mode of passion and mode of ignorance. So Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, Krishna speaks a lot about what is mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. It's basically three modes of material nature. So Krishna speaks that the person who is acting in the mode of goodness, the result of such person is pure, in the sense purer than mode of passion and ignorance. So in mode of goodness, a person at least understands the reality of this material world, that this is temporary. That is the best knowledge a person can get in mode of goodness. Now mode of passion, Krishna says that it is basically driven by attachment and greed. I should acquire more. If I have something now in this material world, if I have a worth of 10 crore rupees of property, I should acquire 30 crores. Multiply it like that. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Bhagavan Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Chandra Bhagavan Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki. So that is mode of passion, and the result of mode of passion is misery. Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter. And mode of ignorance, person acts in the lack of knowledge. And the result of that is basically foolishness. So all these three modes of material nature flows continuously. When sometimes mode of goodness overcomes mode of passion and ignorance, and sometimes mode of passion and ignorance, passion overrules mode of ignorance and goodness, and sometimes mode of ignorance becomes prominent and it defeats mode of goodness and passion, and other times he is in mixed mode of passion and ignorance. So that's why happiness in this material world is defined by absence of misery. Somebody is either miserable, or he has absence of misery, or mixed, or he is in confused state, what has to be done. So by such a influence of mode of passion, goodness and ignorance, a person is called to be in states of deep sleep and dreaming and wakeful state. So all these three combinations brings up these three states of consciousness. So Prabhupada translates this pravaha is in continuous current in the form of wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. So all the people in this mode of passion, ignorance and goodness are governed by these factors. And what has to be done if all these three are continuous? How can a person come out? So Prahlad Maharaj is suggesting Bija Nirharanam Yogaha. So now what is the meaning of Bija? So Vishnu Puran speaks about three stages of our reactions of karma. First thing is Falon Mukha. Falon Mukha means the reactions which are about to take effect. We have already done some karma, either good or bad. And of that karma, we are about to face the reaction, which is almost very close to us, Falon Mukha. And the next stage of the reactions of our karma are called as Kuta, which are dormant, and it will take some time for it to give fruits, give the reactions to the person. And the third thing is Bija, means in the form of a seed. So when seed is sown in the ground, it is not visible. There is no effect of the seed, practical effect. So whatever karmas we have done, either in this past, this life or past lives, all the reactions of that karma are stored in these three levels of karmic reaction. So Bija, Kuta and Falonmukha. So this is just like in olden system of grains and farming. Sometimes there is a huge go down of grains are made, and every year as and when the production is done, it is dumped into this go down and we take it from the below. So there is a queue. So every living entity has a queue of reactions to suffer or to enjoy. So when a person does activities or karma, he suffers good results and bad results. So Bhagavad Gita also speaks about this as karma and vikarma. So karma means activities which are performed according to the Vedic scriptures, according to the time, place, circumstances, according to varna and ashram, for the benefit of either himself or others, materially, like that. So this gives generally good result. Good result either means a good body within the human species, or sometimes going to heavenly planets. And vikarma means breaking of regulative principles or breaking of God laws. So generally we say that somebody who is doing vikarma is a sinful person. He is breaking God's laws. But actually seeing, there is nothing like breaking God's laws. Nobody can break God's laws. They can break themselves against God's laws. Like, you know, if somebody is driving a vehicle, common example, if a person sees a red signal and goes ahead still, so we will say that he has broken the signal and went ahead. So just by he breaking the red signal and going ahead, the rule doesn't change for others and for himself also in the later stage. Red signal means you have to stop. Because you broke the rule, you get punishment. The rule doesn't get changed. So it is not called as breaking of God's laws, rather spoiling ourselves by playing with the God's laws. So when a person gets human form of life, he has a particular responsibility to act according to his intelligence. So in the purport, Prabhupada speaks about awkward position. Especially Prabhupada quotes about a Medhini dictionary, which is a Sanskrit dictionary, where yoga is explained by the result. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called as yoga. So when a living entity gets a human form of life, he should do yoga. Now yoga can be, yoga is a very broad term which can be explained in 1,000 different ways. Generally Prabhupada defines yoga as connection with linking. Yoga means connection. Sanskrit root word is yuj, and then from yuj comes yoga, means practice of the connection. So generally yoga means practice of connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is Krishna. And whose most direct form is Bhakti Yoga, which Prahlad Maharaj speaks to Hiranyakashipu as Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. So like that he goes, and Prahlad Maharaj says these are the direct process of doing devotional service, which helps a person to do Bija Nirharanam. So Bija Nirharanam means completely taking out the reactions of sinful activities or pious activities. So when we go back to Godhead, it is not that only our sinful reactions has to be negated, our pious activities also has to be negated. Because by the actions of pious activities, we'll end up in heaven. And once we'll end up in heaven, we enjoy a very beautiful, materially speaking, beautiful and very long life in heavenly planets. And as soon as our pious activities get over, then the living entity needs to have some shelter. And Swargaloka, only pious living entities stay. Sinful person cannot go there. So all the artificial attempts to go to heavenly planets will fail. So we have an example of Trishanku also in our Puranas. Trishanku artificially tried to go to heavenly planets. And the result of such an action was misery to himself and misery to the person who helped him. We see that Vishwamitra tried helping Trishanku to go to heavenly planets. And by doing such activity, Vishwamitra also had to suffer, that he lost all his tapo-shakti. And even Trishanku had to suffer in a very awkward way. You know, he was hanging upside down in between Swarga and Bhurmandala. So the point is, when we do karma, we get chance to go to heavenly planets. And when we do vikarma, we get chance to see hellish planets also. So now, this removing of reactions of sinful activities is been explained that only devotional service can do. To explain this, we can take an example from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, where Krishna is speaking about devotional service to Uddhava. So Uddhava, being a very great friend of Krishna, inquires many philosophical questions about devotional service. And Krishna answers to Uddhava with a very beautiful example, that just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure, brilliant state, similarly the spirit soul absorbed in the fire of Bhakti Yoga is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position of serving me in spiritual world. So Krishna is telling this. So now this example also becomes very relevant, because Prahlad Maharaj, few verses before, speaks about gold. He speaks that how an expert geologist understands where gold is in the ground, and by a process he can extract gold. So generally when we go to a gold mine, we see that gold is covered with lot of dirt. Dirt means earth. If we dig thousands of kgs of mud, we may get a small gold mine where we can get few kg or whatever of gold. So gold here is compared to spirit, and all other things are compared to coverings. The dirt covering the gold. So to say, we say gold, such a gold is impure when it is covered. But actually speaking, gold is always pure. Just like we say that water is impure when water touches the ground. So, water is always pure, but when water is covered with the mud, it looks like it is impure. But there is a process how it can be made pure again. So similarly, the soul who is doing activities in these three modes of material nature and experiencing all these different states of wakefulness, deep sleep and dreaming, wakeful, dreaming and deep sleep, is actually pure. It is only covering which shows a person that he is acting in the mode of goodness, acting in the mode of passion and acting in the mode of ignorance. So by process of bhakti yoga, only one can remove all those reactions. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in this 11th canto explanation, he gives that when gold is alloyed, generally when we purchase gold, there is small amount of impurity mixed into the gold. Because when gold is given a particular shape, to keep the malleability and ductility of gold, they add some amount of impurity. So such impurity cannot be removed if you wash that gold under water. Such impurity cannot be removed when you use a soap or any other refining process other than smelting it. So smelting means burning the gold in fire. And by that process, pure gold can be extracted. So this fire is compared as bhakti yoga. And all other processes are compared to this washing of underwater or soap. So no matter how much you do it, gold may shine a little bit more, but gold will never become purified. So similarly, if person starts doing jnana yoga and sankhya yoga or different yoga, still that impurities doesn't go, completely go. Either the phalonmukha sometimes is removed. Vedic Puranas speak about prayaschitas. So if you have already done some sinful activity, and if the reaction of the sinful activity is in phalonmukha stage or kuta stage, you do this particular prayaschita, you do that particular prayaschita. So some amount of phalonmukha reactions, some amount of kuta reaction also can be removed by such process of prayaschita. Like, you know, fasting on some particular days, offering some oblations. So all that process can help a person little bit. But the kuta or the reactions which are stayed in bija, not kuta, bija, can never be removed by such processes. So this nirharanam, bija nirharanam, can be done only by bhakti yoga. So that's why even Brahma Samhita speaks about this. Yastvendra gopam athavendra mahosva karma bandhanurupa phalamajana bhat bandhanurupa phalabhajana matanoti karmani niradahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Lord Brahma is speaking that I adore the Supreme Lord Govinda, whose devotional service can eradicate the all karma of a living. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. Kintu means only bhakti bhajan. So what kind of bhakti bhajam can remove the reactions of all the sinful activities? If somebody just comes to temple and goes back to his sinful life, he gets purified, no doubt. But the process has to be continuous. Prabhupada gives the example in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, that if fan is moving, it creates a momentum. And the reactions give rise to some more actions, and who themselves have reactions. So it is a continuous chain of actions and reactions. So it is like fan moving. We don't see that the wings are there. We only see the effect that air is coming. So sometimes we are not able to see what kind of karmas we are doing, but the reactions a person experiences. But when fan is turned off, so a person who has taken to devotional service very seriously, Prabhupada speaks about this. Mamchayo avyabhicharena
सो अव्या व्याभिचारी भक्ति. सो इट इज लाइक टर्निंग ऑफ द स्विच. सो इफ यू टर्न ऑफ द स्विच व्हाट विल हैपन? द फैन स्लोली 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 स्टॉप्स. सो अव्याभिचारिणी भक्ति मीन्स दैट अव्याभिचारिणी भक्ति मीन्स प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस. रूप गोस्वामी स्पीक्स अन्याभिलाषिता शून्यम ज्ञान कर्माद्य अनावृतम अनुकूलेन कृष्णानु शीलनम भक्ति उत्तम. सो वेन वन टेक्स सच काइंड ऑफ भक्ति ही स्टिल फेसेस द रिएक्शंस ऑफ सिंफुल एक्टिविटीज और पायस एक्टिविटीज वॉट एवर ही हैज ऑलरेडी क्रिएटेड इन हिज पास्ट लाइफ एंड स्लोली 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 इट विल कम टू अ हॉल्ट. वेन इट कम्स टू अ हॉल्ट इट इज अ कंप्लीट स्टेट ऑफ वेकफुलनेस. Not the wakefulness of material world, the wakefulness of spiritual life. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, jiva jago, Gaura Chandra bole. So when we come to that wakefulness state, we completely realize that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His eternal servant. So when we are situated in that state, it is called as true mukti. So second canto Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also quotes in this verse, purport, that mukti means to situate ourselves in our eternal constitutional position. So yoga should lead to mukti. Now of course mukti are of five types and the highest form of mukti is attained when a person goes to Golok Vrindavan or Vaikuntha planets. So mukti means, Prabhupada says, giving up our position in ignorance or illusion, by which one thinks in a way contrary to his constitutional position. So constitutional position means, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, jivera swarup. Swarup means constitutional state. So every jivatma has two types of lakshanas. Swarup lakshana and conditioned lakshana. So conditioned lakshana makes a person think in bodily consciousness. I am Indian, I am American, I am Maharashtrian, or I am an engineer. So all other things other than thinking oneself to be Krishna's servant, a person acts contrary to his constitutional position. So that is a special award of Bhakti Yoga, that it brings you directly to your Swarup Lakshana. So Swarup Lakshana of a person is to serve Narayana or Krishna. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for bringing a person to Swarupa state. So when we are actually acting in capacity of serving the Lord, either in the form of deity or in any way serving a spiritual master or cleaning the temple or any service which we are doing, we are actually acting in our Swarupa state. And when we act in our Swarupa state, that is actually mukti. There is nothing that devotee has to achieve mukti. He is already in the state of mukti. He just has to continue it to get the complete result of mukti. Because of this material association, there is every chance that a person, even who is liberated, may get diluted or mixed by modes of passion and ignorance. So that's how this Bhakti Yoga is a process of Bija Nirvaraham Yoga, Pravaho Parodhyo. So by intelligence we should ascertain all these things. Now there is another also example of how this Bija Nirharanam or Bhakti Yoga continuous process can help. So this is from Prithu Maharaj section where Prithu Maharaj is speaking about Ganges. he speaks about So now when a person takes bath in Ganges continuously, he can actually be rid of all the diseases, even material diseases. So in that purport, Bhagavatam 4th canto 21st chapter 31st verse, so Prabhupada gives an example of how a person who constantly takes bath in Ganges, slowly, slowly, all his diseases also go away, material diseases. So similarly, this devotional service process is compared to the flow of Ganges. So when one takes bath daily, so when we actually hear Bhagavad Gita, we are actually taking bath in Bhagavad Gita. That's how even Shankaracharya explains you may take bath in Ganges many times, but still there may be contaminations in your heart. But if you take bath in Bhagavad Gita once, so taking bath in Bhagavad Gita means not that, you know, there is nothing obscure meaning for that. It is simple. You hear Bhagavad Gita or you yourself recite Bhagavad Gita. That is the meaning of taking a dip in Bhagavad Gita. So when we take dip in Bhagavad Gita constantly, regularly, so then slowly, slowly, all the contaminations of mode of passion, goodness and ignorance go away. So first effect will come is that when we come to mode of goodness. And from mode of goodness, we transcend this material world. Because other modes, when a person is put in other modes, it is considered awkward position. Because the soul is acting against his nature. And he is unnecessarily creating so many karma and karmic reaction, which will bind himself more and more. So Prahlad Maharaj, speaking in this section, previous chapter, speaks such a activity like a silk worm creating a cocoon. So the cocoon is that gross body which we create. And within that, the subtle coverings are also there. So when the coverings of subtle and gross are gone, then the person becomes liberated. So that is the main import of this verse of Bhagavatam. By intelligence, like Prahlad Maharaj says, first one should find out gold, which is referred as Atma. And when we identify that Atma, that the Atma is covered by these eight elements, that is eight separated material energy. And then going ahead, we should discern ourselves from these eight material elements and their reactions, the transformations, and then we can actually completely get rid of all these material coverings which are actually unnecessary and temporary. So this section, particularly when Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his demoniac friends, is actually a very short crash course of Bhagavad Gita. If you just see last 7-8 verses in this Bhagavatam, you will see that every verse Prabhupada is quoting a very prominent verse from Bhagavad Gita. So all the different concepts of Bhagavad Gita, like Jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala, Karma, so all these concepts Prahlad Maharaj is covering. Jiva means Ishvara, which he compares as gold. And Supreme Ishvara also he speaks. And Prakriti, the three modes of material nature. Karma, Bija Nirharanam, karma, its reactions, activities and reactions. And then he speaks about now Mukti, which Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. So this yoga process, Krishna speaks. Last Prabhupada's last commentary, last words of this commentary are Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samay yukta tamumata. So this yoga process is best done, the best process of yoga is to always constantly remember Krishna. So constantly remembering Krishna is that fire of bhakti yoga, which will burn all our reactions. So thank you very much for being part of the class. If anyone has any questions, or any comments they can please give.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I have two questions. The first one is, the phalonmukha, the ripened fruit of the karmic reactions, are we going to experience in the gross level or else in the subtle level also, like in the sleeping state, we experience some sweet dreams and some bitter dreams. Are they because of phalonmukha or are they just coming like that? This first part, first question. And second is, if you do some mental activity, if you do some karmic activity to the mind, suppose if I enjoy gulab jamun in the mind, okay, so is it going to create a karmic bondage?
Okay, nice point.
So these are the two questions.
Yeah. So now what? First thing was about the phalonmukha karma. So phalonmukha karma is like if karma, reactions of karma are compared to a tree. Phalonmukha are the ripened fruits, which you can actually experience it. And what we are experiencing now is also phalonmukha only, the fruit. You are just experiencing the karmic reaction. So phalonmukha can also be experienced in all the states. Wakefulness, dreaming and sushupti, that is deep sleep. So what we are experiencing now is called as phalonmukha, whether that may be in any state. It may be wakefulness, states, deepening sleep and all that thing. So now, what we will experience in future, near future, which is almost like inevitable, is called as kuta. And what we will experience maybe in next lives also, is called as bija. So this bija takes time to become kuta and time to become phalonmukha. So this classification is bija, kuta and phalonmukha is mainly from the point of view of how a living entity will experiencing it, when and how. So it is, as far as I understand, it is independent of the states in which he is experiencing. Now second part is good. I couldn't complete one particular point, is that how karma can influence us. So Garuda Puran speaks about how a karma from one person can transfer to another person, and so Garuda Puran says that a karma from one person can spread to another person by conversation. If you are speaking to a person, conversation. By mutual touch. When we go to Mumbai local, we should be careful how many people we are touching. That's why when, especially I have seen Udupi, when an Acharya is doing a worship, or generally the Acharya, he doesn't touch anyone, physically touching. Even if he is grieving some fruits or flower, the Mahaprasad, he will throw it from little top and the person catches. You go to any Kerala temple also, you will see that flowers the pujari gives from the top, he never touches a person. So even if you touch, the karma can get transferred. And then it says frequent association. If you are frequently talking to a person or associating with a person, also comes. Taking food together. Sitting together, lying together and travelling together. So this is what Garuda Puran says about how karma can be transferred from one person to another person. Now, your specific question was about mental karma. So now mental karma will also give reactions, as far as I understand. I don't have a reference to Shastri quotes. Why? Because mental activities gives a resident instinct in intelligence and mind to act on that. So now somebody may not act on that immediately, because at that particular moment the intelligence can be guided that this is wrong or something. But the thought of desire leaves an impression, and that impression may be take place in a later future. So it gives a remote reaction to our activities. But if somebody does even mental activities, mental devotional activities, that will give full result. So in Bhakti Yoga, even mental activities can give full result, but provided it has to be done at a particular stage, not at any stage you want. We have example of in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya a person was preparing sweet rice in the mind, and before generally he offered it to Lord, we test whether the sweet rice is hot or it is at a proper temperature. So he just tried to touch it, the sweet rice, and his finger actually got burnt. I don't remember who is that devotee. Anyone? Huh? South Indian Brahman. The name is not mentioned, maybe. So even if we do mental devotional service, it will give effect, but not it's not that we have to do only mental. When we practice devotional service for long time, that's the stage when even mental activities also result. We cannot say that now in the only in mind I will chant. That will not help us. We have to be at that stage also. So yes, karma affects at mental stage also. But if we do even mental devotional service, it will help us. So we can have that advantage. Yes, any more questions?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, like you mentioned about, we had this discussion about how prarabdham, phalam, kutam, bijam, so all of these go away by practicing devotional service. I had this question that, like, sometimes we don't actually experience it. Of course, for ourselves also, like sometimes we observe some other devotees also that, you know, everything is still there. They're still practicing Krishna consciousness. Of course, for us also it is same thing. They're still practicing for so long, but still, it seems that everything is still there as it is. Just some externally dhoti kurta is there and we are chanting, doing few things externally. But so how do we understand that actually it happens?
So, actually Bhakti Yoga, when it is said that Bhakti Yoga removes all the reactions of all the karma, there are some conditions apply also. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes about various stages a person is in devotional service, and at what stages, what kind of levels of karmic reactions go away. This is a comprehensive view of how karmic reactions go away by Bhakti Yoga. But it is not that when a person is practicing Bhakti Yoga, we have to compare a person to what he was doing earlier and what he is doing now. First thing is, definitely there is a change. First, because he is being positioned in Swarupa Lakshana, that he is serving Supreme Lord. External activities may look very same, but there is gulf of difference. He is doing service to the Lord and he is doing karmic activities. Now, the practitioner definitely will undergo some change. But the graphic change can be seen in some examples. Like we see the example of Murugari. Within few fraction of days, Narada Muni's association made him purified. And he was completely a pure devotee. Right? In other places we see that it takes really very long time also. So it depends on how intensely we are practicing. It depends on how much karmic reaction we already had. So all these things factors do matter. Like that. But if we constantly practice devotional service, the main import is that someday it will end. Prabhupada gives example of fan. Even if you have stopped simple activities, you will get the reaction. And that reaction may still lead to further accumulated reaction. But slowly it will go one day. Like that. Okay. So thank you very much. Shila Prabhupada ki. Granth Rashkimad Bhagavatam ki.